AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota on an MLK day. Howdy, hi, Matt McNeil, Brett. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday MLK day. Feels brisk out there, to say the least. Just anytime you get that wind, it just cuts right through you, especially when we get down to single digits like this. There is a wind chill advisory in effect. They say the wind chill advisory is till tomorrow morning. I think it's actually they're going to extend it out till Wednesday morning, because they're anticipating Tuesday night with wind chills around minus 16. Tomorrow all day minus 20 wind chills. So, but it's a single digits and single digits below zero overnight. So, it is chilly out there right now, Brett.
Yeah, so what's the actual temp supposed to be tomorrow again?
The actual temperature tomorrow is going to be... tomorrow is 7 above.
Yeah, they're probably going to extend that if it's going to be windy.
Yeah, and then they're saying wind chill values as low as minus 20, which is actually colder than right now. Because right now, it is 4 above. The wind chill values around minus 16. Just real rough out there. A pretty snow yesterday predicated it. I mean, that was... kind of one of those snow globe snows we had. It was very nice.
Yeah, that kind of fluffy type stuff.
Very, God, 3 inches. What was it? 4 inches in Hopkins around there. Felt like I was hardly shoveling anything. But at the same time, that stuff is blowing around a little bit. The roads are still a mess, and I know part of that is just you can't, when you got it this cold, it's just. Stuff's, it's hard to get the stuff off when the wind is blowing it back on. But, keep that in mind. Drive slow. There's like 9 accidents working right now in the metro area. The roads are not great. I went up to the club to run today, and there was one point I kind of just slid sideways, and I just like, what in the world just happened there? Was fine, but it was just, a little scary out there. So if you're one of those knuckleheads, it's like, I want to make sure if I can make a point. I get these people that say, I'm glad Minnesotans appreciate winter, but you guys are the worst at driving in snow. Okay, let's tone this down a little bit, okay? All right? It's a city of 3.5 million people. It gets 5-6 inches of snow, and it's about 7 below, and we don't stop. We are still open for business. You have to go into your office. You have to go into the school. We don't stop. And yeah, there might be a slight 20-30 minute delay in your commute, but we don't shut down. Have you been to Atlanta when they get an inch of snow? The apocalypse has rolled in. And to a point, I don't blame them. They're not used to that, and they don't have the equipment to clear it. But your argument is, we don't know how to drive in snow. What you're really saying is, I'm inconsiderate. I didn't get my caboose out of bed 20 minutes early, as I probably should have, to make it to work or school on time. And so now I want to drive 70 miles an hour on roads, which are really only safe for 40 miles an hour. And you idiots in my way are stopping me from probably killing myself and about 5 or 6 other people. That's what they're really saying. Because you want to know the truth is, we're phenomenal at driving in snow. If you think about it, if you put it all in perspective, there are white knucklers and stuff like that. There are people who are terrified of being on the highway and stuff. That doesn't have to do with the winter, necessarily. Those are people that are just scared all the time. No, as far as dealing with driving in snow, Minneapolis-St. Paul kicks caboose. I will put us up against pretty much any city in this country as far as driving in snow. My gosh, have you ever been in a car with someone not from here and they're driving? They don't know what the heck to do. They're just sitting there wondering, why are we not just huddled up in bed crying? Oh, that was a good morning, by the way, huddled up in bed crying. Oh, I enjoyed that this morning. Speaking of huddled up in bed and crying, I'll start with the Vikings just real quick here, because we're not a sports team, and I still firmly believe in my, that $2 billion wasn't worth it. I mean, that's just considering schools, roads, and stuff like that, but I'll give that a rest today, because that was a fun win yesterday. That was a fun thing. But can I actually make a point here, and this is with all sincerity, within minutes of that Vikings victory yesterday, where Case Keenum found Stephon Diggs on what was a boneheaded play by the New Orleans Saints defensive back and ended up, you know, and one of the lost things in here, did you see how far the defensive back on the other side of the field, how actually he kind of got close to, he ran his butt off to try to catch Diggs. And there's no way he was going to, but the fact that he got within 10 yards of him is pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, the cameras were so far zoomed in, I couldn't tell he actually got that close.
So you have to look at it from one of the camera angles on the ground there, because it was not only him, but the line judge was like, oh, my God, we're going for the end zone. And he had to run down, watch him. He's pretty hilarious. He has to start running to get down to the end zone to do the touchdown signal, because all of a sudden he realizes they're going to score a touchdown here. And so there are some funny moments to it. But within minutes of that dramatic victory, Vikings will play at Philadelphia next weekend for the NFC and to possibly play at home for the Super Bowl. Within minutes, Packer fan, who clearly screamed no far louder than anyone in New Orleans did, took to social media to insist, what a bunch of pathetic fans, what a pathetic town, what a pathetic state. Everything about it is pathetic. If you get to the Super Bowl and win it, it's not a legit win because it was a home win. You can't call it anything. It's horrible. You're rotten. You're wrong. Dude, what is freaking wrong with you people? Now, first of all, I'll state what I've said before. If the best thing about your city or your state is a sports team, your city or state sucks. I mean, this is supposed to be parsley on the plate of life. So when parsley becomes the main course of your plate du jour, your city sucks. We have a lot of things going for us here in Minneapolis-St. Paul. An occasional winning sports program is a nice piece of parsley on the plate of life. It is not something we roll our lives into, for God's sakes. And the fact that you guys are so terrified in Wisconsin, because the only thing, and the thing is this, I think Wisconsin is actually kind of a fun state. I have been down there. I spent many, many trips down to Wisconsin, lived in Beloit for a little while. My wife's grandmother was from Princeton. I've been to Madison. Madison's a great town, and I can't stand the University of Wisconsin, really, as a sports team. The sports programs. Madison is a magnificent town. You know, Milwaukee, I think, is a great town. I think that they're a lot of fun places. In Wisconsin, I think Eau Claire's got its pluses and minuses. There are a lot of things. You've got gorgeous woodland countryside. You have nature at some of its best. I mean, it's not as good as Minnesota, let's be honest, but it is pretty darn spectacular, especially in the northern part of your state. Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. The coastal areas by Lake Superior and Lake Michigan, as nice as you see anywhere. You have good music. You've got some good arts over there. You have a lot to be careful of, but you don't even care about that. None of that is. When was the last time anyone from Wisconsin led a conversation or argument point with you about the great restaurants of Madison or Milwaukee or this great art show I saw in Oshkosh or Appleton? When? No. Packers. Packers. Packers, 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 Packers. And I get it. They've had success. And you've had truly a remarkable run here with two all-time Hall of Fame quarterbacks running your team. But it still is a sport. What is a clear sign you people need to sit down with a psychologist or something, or maybe pick up some of those travel brochures. When you go into Wisconsin, you stop at some of those truck stops and stuff. They have come visit, you know, House on the Rock, stuff like that. Go pick up some of those and realize how nice your state really is, that you have something far greater than a sports team. But it's what's a sign that you guys have a real psychosis is the thought that the team that you, the one thing that you have held over the state of Minnesota might be gone. And so you have to sit already 3 weeks before, even if the Vikings get there. And let's face it, if not for skill and luck both being on the playing field, they would not be going to the NFC Championship game. And the Eagles are no guarantee of a victory. And if they end up taking on the Patriots or the Jaguars in the Super Bowl, neither of those teams is going to be a pushover. But the fact that 3 weeks from now, that even if on a hypothetical victory, you are already downplaying the significance, insisting it doesn't matter. There should be an asterisk next to that Super Bowl. What is wrong with you people? You need to go get some help. And I'm dead serious. If this is really what you're at, I mean, I have friends who already have 6 paragraph long postings on Facebook about how we suck in Minnesota about this, because the mere thought of the Vikings winning a Super Bowl is so infuriating for them. I mean, what is the weirdest thing about this is that, once again, their own team is partially on the plate of life. The fact that they've already elevated that to a level which is at is ludicrous. But they've actually taken their enemy's team, their perceived enemy's team, and put that even above it. You guys need some serious counseling. You Packers fan, by the way, Brett?
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to think. I haven't seen any social media posts like that from my Packer fan friends yet.
I will share one or two. Well, I'm not going to put them on because I don't want people. And if I put it out there on the social media, if I relink to it and stuff like that, some of these people are my friends, and I'm really concerned about them. I don't want them to basically get hammered. But for God's sakes, I mean, how many times have I watched in the last few years Green Bay Packers go to a Super Bowl? A bunch. I've watched the game. I've sometimes rooted for them. I've sometimes rooted against them. It's a freaking game. It's just a game, you morons. What's wrong with you people?
I mean, I guess I'm thinking back to a few Thanksgivings ago. We literally had to move a TV into the Thanksgiving dinner table area because the Packers were in the Thanksgiving game. So I guess they could get pretty nuts about it.
Well, that's the saddest thing. I mean, and once again, you did hear me. Wisconsin is a magnificent state. I mean, granted, Scott Walker is a freaking walking train wreck. I mean, he's just the worst governor, and he has ruined your state, and he has taken away your money. But your state, just on the nature of your – have you ever been down to southwestern Wisconsin where they got the farmland down there? It is some of the most beautiful, scenic, iconic Upper Midwest farmland you'll ever see. You could walk on paths for hours and pass these gorgeous barns and these pine trees and woods off to the side where crops are growing. It's gorgeous. Nope, none of that matters. None of it. It's all one sports team. And the fact that the one thing that they have held in their hearts is what makes us better is that we've won and they haven't. The fact that that is possibly going to be violated is already sending you off the edge. Seriously. No, seriously. You guys need to go get some help, all right? Just tone it down, all right? Don't worry. Vikings haven't won anything yet. It was a fun victory yesterday, you know, and stuff like that. But for God's sakes, if you can't find what's great about where you're from, and once again, if the greatest thing about your state or your town is a sports team, well, your town sucks. Your state sucks. And it just is, that's the reality of it. That's why I like Minneapolis-St. Paul, is that we've not had a lot of success with sports in this town. But the reality is, it doesn't matter because that is such parsley on the plate of life. Is it fun occasionally to root for them? Yeah, and that's the deal. It's fun. It's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be something where the only conversation you have is about it. The only thing that that if your perceived enemy wins, that it's going to ruin your lives. Dear Lord, man. Dear Lord. Take a break. Maybe turn off the TV for a while. Or, you know, watch maybe, you know, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Seinfeld. It's on Netflix now. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. I just watched the Brian Regan one. Swear to God, I bent over on the floor laughing so hard. I saw The Verdict this week, and Paul Newman, possibly Paul Newman's greatest acting role ever, ever, The Verdict. Go get a movie. Go get a good movie. Just avoid it. Turn it off.
Go to Madison. Fun town, as you said.
Incredible town. Yeah. The restaurants in Madison are incredible. I've had amazing food in Madison. I love that town. And it's pretty. It's a nice town. Milwaukee. Milwaukee, if you back when the Brewers are playing at the old Milwaukee County Stadium, which was old brick and mortar and iron, they must have had a direct line from the Miller High Life brewing vats right into that stadium, because that was one of the best beers I ever had in my life. Phenomenal beer. The great bratwurst. They're great street festivals they have in Milwaukee's got incredible street festivals and great music. Seriously, just walk away from it, because for your own sanity, it's going to make you feel better, because, you know, just wow. Seriously, wow. 952-946-6205. We'll move apart away from this and more important things relevant towards today when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hi, Matt McNeil from AM 950. I bought my newest Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota in July, and I'm so in love with it. It's comfortable if I'm running the kids to activities or on a longer road trip. It's safe with backup cameras, blind spot protection, and the safety features Toyotas are known for. And it's fun with the bells and whistles, EcoDrive, sunroof, and so much more. I love my new Rudy Luther Toyota Sienna. Stop into Rudy Luther and test drive one yourself at 394 and 169, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis.
Moe's Tax Service on Ford Parkway in St. Paul has been preparing tax returns since 1971. They're one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the country, with a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts. Tax laws and forms are always changing, and you need someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Visit www.moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S-tax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026. Moe's Tax Service. They work for you, not the IRS.
Chocolat Celeste is a true celebration. This is Colette, and we've created two themed chocolate collections for this year's football playoffs. These chocolates are the world's finest artisan chocolates with distinct, unforgettable flavors that will sweeten your team's victory and soften the sting of defeat. Having a party? Skol! Check out our football-themed chocolates. We're an approved vendor through the NFL Business Connect program. Call 651-644-3823 or visit chocolatceleste.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. By the way, you can watch the show. Just go to Facebook, and it's the AM 950 page on Facebook. We are streaming live there, where Deb writes, "Matt, I am a Packers shareholder. If the Packers and Vikings are not playing each other, I cheer for the Vikes, so please do not lump all Packer addicts into the one individual. Thanks. By the way, when's the Blue State Ball? First of all, to that, no, you're not. I mean, there are a lot of people I know who are Packer fans who are not like this, but there are people who I thought were stable individuals are off the ledge.
You think it depends on where they live? Because most of the Packer fans I know actually live in Minnesota, and they haven't gone off the edge like that. But I wonder if you live in Wisconsin.
Well, this person I'm knowing is in Minneapolis, is in the Minneapolis proper here. So there's that. Blue State Ball, ooh, we can't say anything about it. But let's just say Brett and I have been part of some meetings. We know some details. They will be coming soon, so stay tuned. Well, I don't know why I'm using that voice, but stay tuned. We're going to be talking about that. We got the details coming up soon. It's going to be huge. We'll look forward to seeing you at the Blue State Ball in 2018.
You didn't say believe me at the end either.
Believe me. Well, you don't mind. There's a lot of things Trump says that you don't want me to add to that line. 952-946-6205. So, Martin Luther King Day. I had the pleasure this last summer of going to Washington, D.C., and between the Lincoln Memorial and the FDR Memorial is the sensational Martin Luther King Memorial. If you get the chance, it's pretty much one of the most striking sculptures you will ever see in your life. A great remembrance to the man. May I also, without having to go to Washington, D.C., over at the Minnesota Historical Society, at their museum there right on Kellogg in St. Paul, they've got the 1968 exhibit going on right now, including a lot, obviously, about MLK, who was assassinated in 1968. There's a lot on him. As a matter of fact, a very special, you know, series of events on him. I highly encourage you to go over there and see that, because the reality is, we are failing MLK's legacy horrifically, and not only because of Trump, and because Trump is, you know, a racist jackass, and I think the thought that that's where this country could end up would clearly have made Martin Luther King Jr. weep. I mean, it really would. The fact that this person was the president of the United States is would be heartbreaking for him. The man that said that there are good members of the KKK and good members of the Confederate fan clubs and good members who are racist. I mean, that is a disgusting element. But one of MLK's, not only was he talking about equality, but he realized the much larger picture that within white culture, there is this fear of equality overall. And I know I'm a white guy saying this, so I understand that you can take this with two grains of salt, especially if you're a minority. I don't blame you at all, because the white culture in this country is really terrified of equality, because they've convinced themselves that equality means they get less. And that's not true. That's not true in any way, shape, or form. Giving some other group who doesn't have the same opportunity, the same rights, the same equality as you have doesn't diminish yours. It spreads it. It gives it to other people. Two quotes here I'm going to read from Martin Luther King that are, and you know, the language, this is Martin Luther King's language. I want to make sure, I'm going to use his language on this. But two things. His biggest fight was against complacency. Whites, it must frankly be said, are not putting in a similar mass effort to reeducate themselves out of their racial ignorance. It is an aspect of their sense of superiority that the white people of America believe they have so little to learn. The reality of substantial investment to assist Negroes into the 20th century, adjusting to the Negro neighbors, and genuine school integration is still a nightmare for all too many white Americans. These are the deepest causes for contemporary abrasions between the races. Loose and easy language about equality, resonate resolutions about brotherhood, fall pleasantly on the ear, but for the Negro, there is an incredible gap he cannot overlook. He remembers that with each modest advance, the white population promptly raises the argument that the Negro has come too far. Each step forward accents an ever-present tendency to backlash. That is from Where Do We Go From Here from 1967. Also another one. This is a letter from a Birmingham jail. First, I must confess that over the past few years, I have grown disappointed with the white moderate. I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in this stride towards freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the KKK care, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, I agree with you in the goal you seek, but I cannot agree with your methods in direct action, who paternalistically believes he can set the timetable for another man's freedom, who lives by a mythical concept of time, and who constantly advises the Negro to wait for a more conventional season. Shallow understanding from people of good will is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Let me repeat that one. Shallow understanding from people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection. That was a letter from Martin Luther King. He's absolutely right. I mean, sometimes it becomes across in the ignorant where it's pretty blatant. I remember, speaking of the New Orleans Saints, when the New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl, how many white racists quickly said, well, that makes up for Katrina. What the hell are you talking about? That is ignorance beyond ignorance. But what is also ignorance is not the wealthy white community on Wayzata or in Edina or in Woodbury being compared to the inner city. But it's also the middle-class white community in St. Louis Park and in Richfield and in Roseville that is also got more advancements and opportunities than the African-American communities in this city. And that's a fact. I live in Hopkins. It is a delightful town, but it does not escape me that my life as a white man in Hopkins is incredibly more advanced than the African-American life in North Minneapolis. I don't have to go to the wealthiest suburbs to have to see the differential. The differential is there. Until we as a people can acknowledge that the job opportunities, the healthcare opportunities, the educational opportunities, the development opportunities are just not there in the African American community and in minority communities as a whole, Native American communities especially. Until we can see that the advantages that we have because we are white are basically ingrained into the system and have to be unraveled, we will not solve this problem. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Martin Luther King's biggest fight was complacency. Hold on, Gary. I'll get your call here after the break. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Sex trafficking, including men paying to have sex with underage teen girls, often spikes around big sporting events. With the Super Bowl just a few weeks away, what is being done to stop sex trafficking in Minnesota? Listen to a discussion with law enforcement and sex trafficking survivors this Monday at 8 p.m. on AM 950 Radio. You'll be shocked by the stories, but given hope by what is being done to make change. That's this Monday at 8 p.m. on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. The furniture business is one of those industries that's full of fake sales and false discounts. This is the age of the hashtag illegitimate fake president, and haven't you been lied to enough? That's why you need to check out Habitation Furnishing and Design. Habitation offers some of the coolest furniture in Minneapolis at fair prices every day. No fake sales, no phony discounts, just honest, intriguing, and really unique furniture. Check out Habitation on Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park or visit HabitationDesign.com.
Mishad Cooley Erickson, a mechanical and electrical consulting engineering firm in Minneapolis, supports inclusivity by designing spaces for all user groups, honoring inclusivity and respect. These spaces include gender-neutral family restrooms and nursing mothers' rooms. For example, Mishad Cooley Erickson has designed lactation rooms for traveling mothers at the MSP International Airport. Designing these spaces has changed the expectations of similar facilities in airports around the country. Mishad Cooley Erickson designed safe and comfortable environments for occupants who are their number one priority.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for snow throughout today with a high near 4. Tonight cloudy with a low of 4 below. Tuesday mostly sunny with a high near 6, and Wednesday sunny with a high near 22.
Specializing in Szechuan and Peking dishes, the Great Wall Restaurant has been providing a delicious taste experience of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. And they have takeout available, too. The Great Wall Restaurant's located just north of 50th and France. Details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Indeed, Great Wall is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. We just had some delicious Great Wall last week. Fantastic food. Absolutely fantastic.
I'm not a huge Chinese fan, but that was delicious.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Why am I the only one in the office that can... I love eating with chopsticks. I think it's great. I mean, I don't think it's that difficult. Is it really?
I won't even attempt it to make a fool out of myself, so...
I didn't say I didn't make a fool out of myself, but it is fantastic food. Try it out. Szechuan Peking dishes, fantastic food. It's over there in Edina, just north of 50th and France in Edina. Great Wall. It's the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Quick points here. One, because you have taken advantages of opportunities that have been available to you as a white person that are not available to minority populations does not make you a bad person. Nor is anyone trying to take that away from you. The entire argument is that the opportunities that we have as whites in America should be the opportunities that everyone has. And that is where the problem we have as a country exists with race. It's not about punishing whites. It's not about, you know, about taking people's rights away. It's about making sure everyone has the same opportunities. That is equality. And your irrational fear that allowing African Americans to have the same educational opportunities and employment opportunities and healthcare opportunities as the white population, it's misguided. It's racist. And that is really the entire argument what MLK was putting forward. We have to unravel that. Not to make things bad for white America, but to make things better for the minorities who still are working at trying to climb those stairs with a foot in their chest. That is, like I said, complacency. That's what Martin Luther King was actually, one of the biggest things he was fighting for was this idea that, you know, good enough. No. Oh, you won a Super Bowl. That's good enough. No. Do they have the same opportunities? Yes, then we have equality. We have overcome. Gary has been holding the longest. Let's get Gary in here first. Gary in Minneapolis, welcome on in, Gary.
Well, several thoughts are going to my head, Matt. You can shut me down whatever you want, but there's a couple of quotes. Humphrey once said, treat somebody like a dog, you expect to get bitten. And Paul Wellstone, this is right on to what you're saying. We all do better when we all do better. And the right wing's been dividing us. That's the oldest trick in the book for many years. The bosses always divided us. Racially was the big one, but also the women's rights, the disability rights, all those people that are left out, we tried to lift them up, and they pulled us all down with this, the rich have done this to us by scapegoating. And I'll just tell you another thing. Trump, you know, in his speeches, he's talking directly to that cult of followers that follow him off the cliff, and he's leaving the rest of us out. And it reminds me of Vincent Van Gogh saying, that my doctor reminds you of the blind leading the blind, and you saw what happened to Van Gogh.
Okay, yes. President Van Gogh was a grand loss. I will say one of the things I read a fascinating article today about the fact that one of the reasons why Trump is going back to this unbelievably racist language is because his base is eroding, and it's eroding fast. Although I've got some questions about that.
Well, isn't that true with the David Duke saying his faith was restored in Trump? I think that's what he tweeted out.
Well, and the racists are like, hey, come on, troops, we're all back with him.
Yeah.
He's being racist again. No, he's losing traditional Republicans because even Lindsey Graham is like, okay, dude, he doesn't want to call him out and say, you said the bad word in the meeting. He doesn't, but he's basically said, you said the bad word in the meeting. And you basically turning this entire argument into did you say it or not is ludicrous. We have a compromise bill to get this passed. You are refusing to do it. This is on you. Keith is in Minneapolis. He wanted to chime in on MLK. Welcome on in, Keith.
Yes, indeed. How you guys doing?
All right, sir.
I'm a 62-year-old African-American man. I am doing okay in life, my family, wife, kids. And Matt's words right before the commercial previously struck home so powerfully. Matt, you were dead on. I just wanted to pass it on. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Keith. I appreciate it. And it's thanks. That's very nice of you. The reality is Martin Luther King, and he inspired me too. And one of the things that my wife and I have done with our kids is to tell them that we're no better than anyone else. We're no better than anyone else. Within our household, obviously, I like my kids. I like my wife. We work together. You know, we love each other. We're a family. But we're not better than anyone else. And by making a world where everyone can succeed at the same level, that is important. I mean, I mentioned The Verdict. Do you remember the movie Verdict? I mentioned that with Paul Newman. I saw that this week in 1982, I believe it was. It might have been up for the Oscars in 82, so it might have been 1981. And the story is about a mistake made by a hospital and the court case that is involved around it with the diocese which ran the hospital in Boston, basically trying to stop Paul Newman from representing the woman who wasn't killed but left in a coma because of the mistakes made by the hospital. It's a phenomenal film. There's a moment in the film where his expert witness is going to be this African-American doctor. And this is 1980, and he's already said, oh, well, we got a big problem, because the entire argument was, we have a big problem because this guy is African-American. And it was stark in that you have to sit down with your kids, and I have to explain, okay, because, you know, my kids have T-shirts with Neil deGrasse Tyson on them. They love him. They think he's one of them. My son thinks he has him up there next to David Ortiz on his wall. He loves him. And so the idea of what it was like back then, it is kind of foreign for them. I have to explain it. But at the same time, I also have to make sure I predicate that with saying, oh, and by the way, we're nowhere near to fixing this problem. And just the fact that we can look back on a 1980s movie and say, wow, they had some real bad racial stereotypes back in those days. Yes, they did. But it doesn't mean we've cured them. And I think that is something which we absolutely, if we're going to really embrace Martin Luther King's legacy, equality just means equality. And if you're white, an African American, a Latino, a Native American, any minority group, having the same rights as you doesn't dismiss your rights. It's equality. And if you live, I don't care which suburb you live in, if you're white, you really do in America have far more opportunities than the African-American culture. And no, it's not because they haven't fixed it themselves. No, it's because the white culture, the white power struggle, or power system rather, the white power system has placed its foot on the throat of the African-American population, and they have told them to now sing. That's what's going on, and it still is going on tremendously today. Equality is the main part of Martin Luther King's legacy, but complacency by the white population has to be addressed. Absolutely. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I want to make sure I mention, I told you earlier that I think that with the racist things that Trump is saying, he's trying to shore up his base. The reality is, I'm not sure exactly where his base is at. And my sinking suspicion about Trump and Trump supporters particularly is that as much as they're embarrassed, I mean, on Friday, we not only had him describing Haiti and El Salvador and African countries with the S-hole comment, but then we find out his campaign, or at least his lawyer, paid off a porn star so that she would keep her mouth shut about his affair with her after Melania gave birth to Barron. And apparently there were other porn stars that were in on this too. And Trump running around a hotel room in his tidy whities chasing after porn stars. Ugh.
Sorry to, for this image, but cheeseburgers might be involved.
Oh, cheeseburgers. Tell you what, do you have any films that involve cheeseburgers in the bed? Because that would be great. Well, let's face it, on the decency scandal, hamburgers and cheeseburgers in bed is better than what the other guy, what else he's known for at this point. Ugh. Anyway, he's kind of sick, FYI. But you see, there's this horrible things that have happened. And if I sit down and I talk to Republicans, I will sit there and say, hey, what do you think about all this stuff going on? And they'll say, oh, this is horrible. But they were saying that back in October of 2016. They were saying, oh, this is horrible. He mocked a disabled guy. Oh, that's horrible. Oh, there's all these questions about sexual harassment. Oh, that's horrible. They only, the Access Hollywood tape. Oh, that's horrible. I don't know if I can vote for him. And they all went and voted for him. They all did. Every one of them. Every one of them. Let them wear their shame like an anchor around their neck as it drags them to the bottom of the ocean, okay? They all voted for Trump. As much as they hem and haw and like, I don't know about if I can vote for him. They all gleefully ran into the voting booths and checked Trump's box. The reality is things have gone bad. They have shown signs that they're more vocal about it. Some Republicans have broken with Trump and criticized him. But a New Star Tribune poll says, in all, 33% of respondents says they are very concerned about the Russian interference in the U.S. election, while another 17% are somewhat less concerned. Meanwhile, 43% said Trump and his campaign officials were involved with the Russian scandal. 44% said no. That 44% really does indeed raise a question for me. All right? It indeed does. Under this guise, you just, 2 weeks ago, George Papadopoulos, we found out he was in London in May, I think it was May of 2016. May of 2016, he was in London, drunk as a skunk, blabbing to the Australians about how the Russians had hacked the DNC and Hillary Clinton. We know this for fact. We also know this is well before the Trump Jr. meeting at Trump Tower. And at no point did the Trump campaign ever go and talk to the FBI saying, we got information saying that the Russians have indeed attacked one of our political campaigns here in this country and are trying to undermine the election. Quite the contrary. They knew about this, and they kept having meeting after meeting after meeting. They met with them at the RNC. They met with them in Trump Tower. They ran into these people constantly. And you have Katie McFarland during the transition team saying the Russians helped us win this election. It's undeniable the Russians and Trump in his campaign were working together. When they found out about this, it was get us those emails. And they used WikiLeaks as a front organization to release them. And yet 44% of respondents in Minnesota say, oh, I don't think there was anything involved. That concerns me because when it comes down to it, that's them basically shutting off reality. Everything I've just said is public knowledge. It's public knowledge. It's things we know for fact that have happened. And yet the fact that Minnesotans are, oh, I don't know if they're involved. What are you talking about? They had a meeting in Trump Tower. My God, Steve Bannon even says Trump Jr. took the Russians up to meet with Trump himself. Don't fool yourself. There's a lot of Republican voters right now. There's a lot of Republican voters that come 2020. They're sitting there saying, oh, I'm really disappointed in the he spent 95 days of his first year in term already out there on the golf course. I'm really concerned about it. Don't let them fool you. They'll run in and gleefully vote for Trump again. This is about getting people active and engaged. Reminder, February 6th, it's caucus time in Minnesota. February 6th, caucus day in Minnesota. Get out there, get involved. If we don't get the 110 million people who are registered voters who did not vote to the polls, well, we already know who the Republicans are going to vote for, and they're going to vote for them with a smile on their face. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Jim in St. Paul, hold on. I'll get your call after the break. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Yes, international movement superstar. Love the Scandinavian feel of Ingebrigtsen's on East Lake Street? Then I invite you to also Ingebrigtsen's Coffee Bar in Norway House on East Franklin Avenue. Our menu includes Nordic waffles, Lefse dogs, and Scandinavian pastries and cookies, which pair well with our Spring Grove sodas and Viking coffee, especially roasted for us by Peace Coffee. Also, Ingebrigtsen's Coffee Bar is located at 913 East Franklin Avenue and online at ingebrigtsens.com. The first vowel is an I, the rest are E's.
A coalition of Minnesota advocacy and activist groups have united to commemorate the anniversary of the 2017 Women's March with a one-day conference for experienced and newly motivated activists to turn outrage into action for ongoing grassroots efforts in the work for social justice. The Min by Min 2018 Beyond Resistance Conference will be held January 28th at Harding High School in St. Paul. The conference centers around three themes: community building, effective activism skills, and understanding the issues. Dr. Rose Brewer, professor of African American and African Studies at the University of Minnesota, will present the keynote entitled Forging Revolutionary Change in an Era of Right-Wing Reaction. Other planned sessions include presentations bridging the red-blue divide from Better Angels, Minnesota, women of color leaders in the social justice movement from Take Action, Minnesota, caucus training, and much more. So turn your resistance into action at the Min by Min 2018 Beyond Resistance Conference. Again, that's January 28th at Harding High School in St. Paul. The full schedule and registration is available at minbymin.org. That's mnxmn.org.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug with Hidden Edges Radio on Sundays from 1 to 2 p.m. Join me this Sunday for an interview with James Lackitz from Interact Center, who will talk about this remarkable theater company that mainly employs actors with disabilities. We'll all learn that having a disability isn't a bar to acting, and in fact, might very well be an asset. As I like to say, it's all about inclusivity. Hidden Edges Radio, challenging, passionate, perspective-changing on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, a tragedy in Rochester. I'll try to get to that here in a second. But Jim in St. Paul, welcome on in.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. You know, I was listening to news this weekend, and even on Fox, they point out the lies in this administration, and the people that fill the offices under Trump, all they do is lie. They had a woman on, she's in charge of national security, believe it or not, and she was in that meeting, and of course her hearing is bad and she can't remember.
Oh, yeah, of course not.
It is unbelievable that, and they, there's no way anybody can not know this. But yet they've done nothing to change it.
Well, and all of his defenders, what is the answer that they put forward? The defenders say the same thing. Oh, I can't recall him saying it. There's no one saying full-throated, you know what? He didn't say it. I didn't hear it at all. So I didn't hear it say it. Could he have? I don't recall him saying it. No one's saying Trump never said it. And now Durbin is saying release the tape, which I think this is why Trump is now becoming a little more nasty on this, is because Durbin's calling him out and saying, you're calling me a liar? Okay, fine, release the tape. And they don't want to release the tape. All of a sudden, they're going to have a problem with the tape recorder. It's amazing. Tragedy in Rochester. A teenage motorist involved in a minor collision at a Rochester intersection saw the other driver had a gun drawn and dared the man to shoot him, and that's exactly what indeed did happen, according to a friend who was at the teen's car. The shooting of Muhammad Rahim, 17, of Rochester, occurred about 8:20 a.m. on Sunday at East River Road and 31st Street Northeast. 25-year-old Rochester man with a permit to carry firearm was arrested. He remains jailed on suspicion of second-degree murder. The guy who went, basically, so what it sounds like has happened here. Let's see here. Police say Rahim tried to make a right turn from East River Road on the 31st and slid into the ditch. The man in the other vehicle took evasive action and was almost hit by Rahim's car. Police added, Rahim reversed out of the ditch and hit the man's vehicle. I got to believe non-intentionally. Raheem and one of his passengers got out of the vehicle and confronted the man. According to police, police captain John Sherwin told the Rochester Fulton there was some posturing and words exchanged, and the Raheem approached the other driver. There was a self-defense claim being made by the other driver at this time that he was in fear, and that's why he shot the victim. Well, because that's why we have carry and conceal, isn't it? That whenever you, I'm scared! Bang, 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 bang! Because that's, no one forced this guy to pull it. And once again, I want to make sure we have a reminder. He pulled the gun, and the guy said, what was it? He said, I dare you to shoot him. And by the way, isn't that the spirit of gun laws? He dared me, so he was asking for it. Sounds like he was about 10 feet away from him, so it was no immediate threat to this guy's life. But he killed the guy, shot him in the heart. His friends are frantically trying to save his life. And there's carry and conceal for you. There it is. Another fine example of how carry and conceal does nothing what exactly they said. All it's done, as a matter of fact, we've had far more cases of carry and conceal being used in aggressive manners as opposed to defensive manners. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, weren't the guys that shot up the 6th Precinct protest, or is it the 4th Precinct protest, aren't those guys that shot up that protest, weren't they all carry and conceal licenses? Aren't they all legally carry those guns? That's not why the purpose was. If you go back and listen to Tim Pawlenty, the purpose of carry and conceal was we were going to stop all crime in Minnesota. Oh, criminals are not going to know who has guns. And so out of fear of guns and respect of the gun, no one's going to ever get shot ever again in Minnesota. And crime was going to cease to exist. How'd that work out? Oh, that's right. It was a bunch of hooey. It was basically a bill put forward to strap on the knee pads for the NRA and the gun lobby so that we could basically try to convince terrified white people, you got a guy a gun, more guns. And here you have a case of that, exactly. Because I can tell you right now, I don't think being dared to shoot someone is justification to shoot the person. Oh, and I'm sure the black kid scared me is going to be the first thing. Oh, it's the case. Thank God we have at least a different standard for white civilians as we do for the police in this state, because I don't think that's going to be able to fly. I don't think that's going to be able to fly. But once again, carry and conceal is another grand example that the gun was not used to defuse the situation, to help the situation. The gun was used to instigate the situation, and then the gun was used to kill a 17-year-old kid. A 17-year-old kid was killed by this guy because carry and conceal turned him into John McClane at Nakatomi Plaza. It's Die Hard. Yippee-ki-yay. And he killed the kid. He shot a 17-year-old boy in the heart who was unarmed. But hey, carry and conceal. That's exactly what it was meant for, huh? It's stopping all crime. Or in this case, actually perpetrating the crime. Because this Rochester man seems to have been in a case where he was using it to basically try to get his way. He was using it as a way to threaten people. And not only threatened people, he murdered a 17-year-old. Dear freaking Lord. I'm guaranteeing there's going to be more on this to come. And then, of course, let's just prepare for it. That black kid scared me. That's good because that's exactly that we already know that's where it's going to go. And I'd say there's a 50-50 chance the jury is going to find for the guy at this point. I guarantee it. Mike is up next. Happy Martin Luther King Day. Try to live his spirit. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.